Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
And because that confession is on our lips, it means you are all Christians. Christians who believe in the death of Jesus. Christians who believe in the resurrection of Jesus. And if you are a Christian, it means you want to do what is right. You want to serve God. You want to serve your neighbor. You want to live and act in ways that are pleasing to God our Father. In other words, you want to do good works. Or if we phrase it the way that our reading did today, you want to bear much fruit. And the truth is that this is exactly what Jesus wants for you too. He wants you to bear fruit. This is what he wants for all of his people, is that we all live God-pleasing lives according to his word. Well, our text for today from John chapter 15 is Jesus' words to his disciples, much like you, followers of Jesus, right before he is arrested and crucified. And so at some point between instituting the Lord's Supper and going to Gethsemane, Jesus is preaching this sermon to his people in order to teach them how they can endure after he's gone, how they can continue after Jesus is dead, how they can still produce fruit, still do good works, even after Jesus is taken away from them. And using the same words of this sermon, he teaches the same thing to you. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. Remember, we're all Christians, right? We all want to bear fruit. And so Jesus tells us that there are two things that are going to happen if we want to bear much fruit. We just want to bear a little bit of fruit, you know, okay, you know, we can do that too. But I mean, if we're Christians, we want to do the best, right? We want to live our best lives for the Lord. And so Jesus says the first thing to expect is to be pruned. And not like shriveled plums, right? Like pruning hook, or like in our day and age, we have, you know, clippers, right? We prune, or, you know, we saw, we cut off limbs. And why do we prune? Well, because it promotes health. It promotes production in fruit-bearing plants. And so as we sort of consider this whole analogy that God is giving us of pruning, we have to ask ourselves, what does this look like practically? What does it look like when God prunes us? And of course, we already know the answer. What can God cut away from us that will make us healthier and more productive? It's our sin. We all know this. Sin, when he reveals to us what is harmful and he cuts it out of our life. But this is difficult for the plant. You know, most of the time, we're okay to confess our sins. You know, confess them in our mind. Confess, you know, okay, you know, I'm okay to give up this sin over here, God. You know I screwed up in this way, so I'd really appreciate if you could help me not screw up that way again. But then there's this other sin over here, and I'm just going to hold on to this one. Right? We like to give some sins away, and we like to hold on to others. And I'll even give you an example. Think about the first commandment, for instance. You shall have no other gods. And this one's really easy, especially for us in our country, because we live in a country of abundance. And so in our country, we worship our entertainment, the fact that we can be entertained, period. We worship our money, and we worship ourselves, like our own abilities, you know, our health and our, you know. And so if you think about it, you know, every time, you know, we're faced with something to do, we always have to go, is this going to be fun or not? Because if it's not going to be fun, I don't really want to do it. And so what God does is sometimes he puts us through hard times in life or times of uncertainty to teach us that it's not all about the amount of fun you can have in this life. He's certainly given us fun. He's given us entertainment as a gift. But we take that gift and we start to live our lives as if that is all there is. That life is just constantly seeking after fun. My friends, God says no. Or money. Right? You know why people go through financial hardship? It's because God is teaching them that money isn't the most important thing, that we shouldn't build up our treasures on earth, but we should be looking forward to the eternal treasures in heaven. Just as we look forward to eternal enjoyment and eternal treasures, it's not about what happens here. It's not about what happens in time. All of this will eventually pass away. But the things that God gives us in heaven, those things will last forever. You know, we think about our health and our sickness, and when things go bad in life, you know, we start to ask God, well, why is this happening? It's because God needs to teach us that health is fleeting. Good health will not always stick around. Eventually, every single one of us in this room will be facing death, unless Jesus comes again. But if Jesus doesn't come back again, we're all going to have to stare death in the face. Because life doesn't last forever here. Certainly, he will give us eternal life, but that's what he wants us to trust in. Trust in him to provide us with everything, no matter what it is. And the fact of the matter is when we start to feel the anxiety, the stress because of all of these different problems that we just mentioned, God is pruning us. Is it fun? No. We would much rather live lives of enjoyment with financial abundance and we can just be healthy and live for as long as we want. In fact, that's actually what God had intended for people in the Garden of Eden. But because of our sin that we need to cut out of our lives, we have these hardships. And in the hardships, God teaches us that it's about the eternal things, not the things of this life. But God is in the business of taking all of our false idols and destroying them. As the perfect gardener, he takes and he prunes and he cuts and he gets rid of all of the sin in our lives, and it's not pleasant at all. But in keeping with repentance and in hearing the words of forgiveness that Jesus purchased on the cross with his blood and death, we continue. And believing these promises, we bear more fruit than we could with our sin attached to us. Because you all want to bear fruit, right? You're Christians. You want to do the good things that God wants you to do, which leads us directly into our next thing. First, we have to be ready to be pruned. We have to be ready to confess our sins. We have to be ready to receive forgiveness for them. But second, Jesus says, if you want to bear fruit, you have to remain attached to the vine. That is, Jesus himself. Now, most of us were confirmed into the church, and even if you haven't yet been confirmed, or if you didn't have a formal confirmation, part of the confirmation rite itself involves making a promise both before God and the congregation, is that you will make diligent use of the means of grace. Means of grace being word and sacrament. It means that you will trust in your baptism, you will receive the Lord's Supper faithfully, you will hear the word and actually follow it. It's everything that happens during the divine service on Sunday. You promise before God and the congregation that you would cling to Jesus above all else. There's good reason for us to make this promise. Because if you don't remain in Jesus' words, you don't remain in him. How many of you guys have ever seen Jesus with your eyes? Me neither. But how many of you seen Jesus in the Word? Through the eyes of faith, we see Jesus in the pages of Scripture. And where is the primary place where everything in Scripture is delivered to you? It's in the divine service. It's when God comes to serve you with his Word. If we neglect to join together in the divine service, if we neglect our daily devotions, if we neglect to trust in our baptism, if we neglect to take the Lord's Supper, we neglect to abide in Jesus. And apart from him, you and I, we can do nothing. Apart from him, we bear no fruit. You see, when we divorce ourselves from Jesus, we hurt only ourselves. If we cut ourselves from forgiveness, if we cut ourselves from his promise, we can do nothing. Now, the best part about all this, you know, being pruned, abiding in Jesus, the best thing is that Jesus shows us what this all looks like. Because what does Jesus do right after he preaches this sermon? But he goes to the cross. He bleeds. He dies. Not for his own sin, but for the sin of the world, for your sin, for my sin. It's like God takes those clippers, right, of the pruning hook, right? He's got a prune, which is essentially God's wrath against all sin. You know, God cuts sin out of our lives. And what does he do? Well, you can see God just hacking away at Jesus as he literally absorbs all of God's wrath for all the sins of the whole world onto himself. Jesus knows what it's like to struggle under sin because that is the sin that he was crucified with. That is the sin that he bled for. That is the sin that he breathed his last to pay for. But what's better is that Jesus, being truly God, just as he confessed, fulfilling all of the Old Testament scriptures, abiding in those words, Jesus comes back to life to show you that he truly is the Son of God, that he truly is the Savior of the world, just as God's word confesses. He comes back to life. He lives again, never to die again. And better than that, he even conquers your sin. He conquers Satan. He conquers death because he comes back to life with words of forgiveness and salvation, with hope for the whole world. You want to bear fruit? Do you want to bear fruit? The truth is, we have the formula right here. It's really simple. Confess your sins. Receive forgiveness. Abide in the Word. That's it. Now, a lot of times when we hear sermons like this, we sort of want the pastor to go to a place where he goes, and this is what you should do next, to be doing the works of God. But the truth is that we don't have to go there. Just look at your place in life. You a father, mother, husband, wife, or worker? Are you a grandfather or grandmother? Are you a child? Are you a cousin? Are you an aunt or uncle? Are you somebody who shops at the grocery store? Do you pump gas into your car? It doesn't matter what you're doing. There is nothing specifically that says, well, God really wants you to go and talk to the person who's on the corner of the house down the road. No, simply live your life abiding in Jesus, trusting in his forgiveness, and guess what? The fruit will start to grow. Because when Jesus lives in you, and when you live in Jesus, you cannot help but bear fruit. My friends, you are already clean. You are already a branch that has been grafted into Jesus Christ. Go forth joyfully, knowing that Jesus, who abides in you, will flow from your words and actions today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.